Good morning, everyone. My name is Margaret Ziegler. I'm the Executive Director of the Global Harvest Initiative. Welcome to the 5th Annual Global Agricultural Productivity Report. We have a fine program ready for you today and a nice lunch as well afterwards. And we have a full house here in Des Moines, and we're also joined by webcast with viewers from India, Honduras, Mexico, Singapore, Rome, Winnipeg, Quito, Ecuador, and Australia, as well as Washington, D.C. and New York City. I especially would like to recognize some of our distinguished guests here today with us. We are pleased to welcome the Assistant Secretary of State, Charles Rivkin. He is with us from the Bureau of Economic and Business Affairs, and we're pleased to have you with us. Our GHI Board of Directors are also here in the room. Jesus Madrazo is our Board Chair from Monsanto, Claudia Garcia of Elanco, Listra Antoine of DuPont, Corey Reed of John Deere, and Amir Ali representing Accenture. With us as well, we have some of our founding board members, J.B. Penn from John Deere, and Jerry Flint from DuPont Pioneer. I want to recognize Ambassador Islam Siddiqui, formerly the Chief Agriculture Trade Negotiator at the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative, and now with CSIS, and he's been a wonderful support and contributor to this report. Other guests I want to recognize include our consultative partner organizations, leaders and representatives. Dr. Victor Villalobos is the Director General of ICA, here with us from Costa Rica, and Miguel Garcia Winder of the Washington Office of ICA. We also have two of our newest consultative partner members here in the room with us from GAIN, Thorik Sederstrom, and Jinya Truitt-Nakata of the Inter-American Development Bank. We have folks with us today from EFAD, FAO, ACDI VOCA, the Alliance to End Hunger, the Hunger Project, the World Wildlife Fund, and so many others who have contributed case studies and information for this GAP report. We're grateful for your support and expertise each year. Finally, a big thanks to Ellen Levinson of Levinson & Associates, our lead author, along with Will Conrad of John Deere, Keith Fugley and Nick Rada of USDA, Ann Steensland and Adona Dervisholi of GHI, and so many other experts from research organizations, Indian institutions, private sector companies, non-governmental organizations, and universities who helped contribute to this report. They are listed in the front cover of our GAP report. And those of you in the room have copies at your seat, and we invite you to follow through today as we walk through the findings of the GAP report. This year's report is entitled Global Revolutions in Agriculture, the Challenge and Promise of 2050. And one of the challenges is technology sometimes. Okay, there we go. Okay, here's our GAP report cover. Thank you very much. It's entitled Global Revolutions in Agriculture because we're focusing a little bit on the 50-year anniversary of the Green Revolution in India. This report uncovers both challenging and promising trends. It highlights the rise of promising new global revolutions in agriculture, and it also shines a spotlight on the special case of India. Some 50 years after the Green Revolution, India has made tremendous progress in meeting her food and agriculture needs. This report traces that trajectory, as well as the future path of opportunity that are opening up there. We will today provide some highlights from the GAP report, and then dig in with our panelists to have a conversation about the findings and their experiences in Africa, Latin America, Asia, and in the U.S. First, just a brief word about GHI. GHI was formed in 2009 by companies that advocate collaborative solutions to sustainably meet the rising demand for food, feed, fiber, and fuel. We serve as a private sector policy voice for productivity growth and sustainable agriculture systems. We advance approaches and technologies that conserve natural resources, help us adapt to climate change, and help improve people's livelihoods and nutrition. We are also joined by 11 consultative partner organizations who share their knowledge and expertise in agriculture, conservation, nutrition, and the needs of small-scale farmers and producers. We thank our partners for their partnership and for sharing their knowledge in each of our GAP reports. Since we were formed in 2009, we have issued four prior reports, each covering and tracing the growth of global agricultural productivity. In 2009, the world was confronted with a food price crisis that left nearly 1 billion people in the grip of hunger. But now we're facing an even more daunting task. How can we sustainably provide sufficient, nutritious, and affordable food for the needs of the planet by 2050? How we address those problems is the subject of our GAP report. Each year, GHI invites talented young leaders from our member companies to help contribute to the GAP report and to help present its findings. With us today from Elanco is Matt Perkins, who will be sharing some of the report's findings. Matt grew up on a family farm in Indiana, and now his wife and two sons live in Carmel, Indiana, and he holds a Bachelor of Science in Marketing and Economics from Butler University. His work at Elanco centers on building a better understanding of how food and technology intersect and how consumers understand food technology in the increasingly global marketplace. I'd like to invite Matt to the stage where he will present. Then I will share some further findings from the GAP report, and we will move into our panel session. Matt?
Thank you, Margaret. Currently, the FAO estimates that output of basic staple food must increase 60% to meet the demand in coming decades. But this does not include the demand for animal feed, fiber for clothing, and fuel for industrial materials. Demand for these non-food products will also continue to grow in the coming decades. In our 2010 inaugural GAP report, GHI estimated that agricultural output must double by 2050 in order to meet the coming estimated demand for all forms of agricultural, both food, feed, fiber, and fuel to be included. What is causing the rising demand? A growing global population. Many of you might know and do hear every day that we are growing as a global world. Today, with just over 7 billion people on this planet and future projections by the UN Food and Agriculture Organization, it is estimated that our global population will rise to over 9.6 billion people in the year 2050. Urbanization, it's accelerating from 54% today to 66% in the future by 2050. More than half the global population will live in cities rather than rural and urban environments. Growing global middle class will also increase. With economies growing and incomes rising, separate from population growth, 3 billion people will enter the middle class. In fact, more people will join the middle class between now and 2020 than at any other time in our history. While middle class means different things in different places, to put it simply, billions of people will live a better life and have a better opportunity. Economic growth is also fueling a change in diets, particularly demands in protein with the rise in the middle class. Increased demand in both livestock, poultry, and fish are the largest drivers in our world economy today when it comes to food, and they are expected to double by 2050. Grains and oilseeds are also major parts of animals' diets today. Accordingly, those demands will also grow substantially. In the next 16 years, by 2030, we will see an increased demand for animal-based protein unlike we have ever seen before. A 63% demand increase for both poultry and eggs, a 55% increase for dairy and milk products, and a 44% increase in both pork and beef, and at least a 9% increase in fish consumption worldwide, with most outpacing population growth. Population growth and changing diets will place direct pressures on our already stressed natural resources. Today, 70% of our extracted water worldwide is used for agriculture. This will increase to 89% by the year 2050. With pressure on water, additional pressures will also be placed on land, as 37% of our land is currently used for crops today and pasture-based. Another one-third of that agricultural output is actually lost to waste after harvest. In addition to the demands from changing diets and population growth, agricultural systems must adapt to climate change and volatility and manage the risk that it brings to the farm. Climate scientists expect a change in rainfall patterns that will make some areas drier and other areas wetter. With these changes, and upcoming demand shifts, if we are not more efficient and responsive, our food production growth could slow by at least 2% every decade. In spite of these challenges and risks, the world has the resources and the technology to ensure long-term food security for all. We must ensure that we can access not just the right amount of calories, but quality calories to ensure good nutrition, an adequate and balanced diet, to promote healthy lives and productive societies. Currently, there is an estimated 165 million children worldwide who experience stunted growth due to poor nutrition and malnourishment, and that creates lifelong impediments, both physically and cognitively. Excessive weight is also becoming a global health concern, also contributing to chronic disease. But there are solutions. In order to increase output, we must increasingly adopt new innovation, technology, and improved production practices that will help reduce greenhouse gases and conserve our natural resources. Delivering more agricultural product per unit of land while using less resources will be crucial to our future. To improve nutrition, solutions lie in targeting better nutrition for women in their reproductive years and for children up to 2 years of age, along with improvements in sanitation and quality. Solutions are also found in biofortification of crops and enrichment of food products through fortification and through smooth functioning value chains that allow a variety of nutritious food choices to reach global marketplaces. Food must move. It is important. To do so, the GAP report advances a call to action today. We must conserve our land, water, and energy and other natural resources. We must continue to adapt to changing dietary patterns and climatic conditions. And we must improve livelihoods, nutrition, and living conditions of both urban and rural communities and smallholder farms. The GAP report not only looks at global trends, but it also provides a spotlight this year on India. What is the agricultural imperative in India today? New dynamics are now emerging there. India is at a crossroads. There is greater prosperity for many, but food security still remains a very real challenge to some. India's government has pioneered key initiatives like the Green Revolution in the 60s and 70s with wheat and rice, to the White Revolution in the 70s with dairy. Today, India has become the world's largest economy in terms, the third largest economy in terms of purchasing power parity. The future growth of the middle class is advancing at an astonishing rate. Over the past 16 years, India's middle class has increased from 1 million people to 108 million people. And in the next 16 years, incomes are expected to grow rapidly, bringing another 1 billion people into the middle class in India. The figure here shows that increase from 8% of the population to 84% of the population by 2030. India's growing middle class creates new dynamic market opportunities. Using milk as just one example, India's per capita daily consumption of milk continues to grow, with over 1.2 billion people drinking on average a little more than one cup of milk a day. India is now the largest producer of milk in the world. Nearly every drop that is produced in the country is consumed in the country, and there are great opportunities to increase supply, thereby further spurring economic growth to meet the growing demand. India's consumers are also increasing their consumptions on eggs and poultry meat. In order to meet this demand, it has been accompanied by advancements in genetics, veterinary health, animal husbandry practices, poultry feed and efficiency, and processing. The GAP report details how dramatic changes in India's poultry industry is also driving new demand for poultry feed and maize production. Nearly 80% of the poultry feed in India is comprised of corn. As the poultry industry continues to grow, so does the demand for corn. The private sector is collaborating with the government in India to help farmers improve the poultry and maize value chains to even further success. While Indian consumers' demand continues to grow and diets begin to change, India also faces both unique challenges and opportunities when it comes to agricultural production. At 169 million hectares, India's cultivated landmass is the largest in the world. The government of India's top research institute reports, though, that nearly 60% of the agricultural land is at risk due to fertilizer misuse, poor cropping practices, and some soil nutrient deficiencies. 55% of the population is engaged in ag production, with the average farm size only being half the size of what it was just 40 years ago. India uses 13% of the world's extracted water, and of that, 87% is used in irrigation. The irrigation that is used, however, is not used efficiently. Declining rainfall during the monsoon season adds to the increasing challenge that is contributing to the depletion of the country's aquifers. India's Ministry of Agriculture also reports that 30% of harvest and post-harvest economic losses have come from the fruit and vegetable sectors. And while unemployment among agricultural workers rose from 9.5% to 15.3% in the past decade, government subsidies to farmers increased more than eightfold. But some of those subsidies that received were underperforming compared to some of the lower subsidy farms. As the government increases the subsidies for buying and distributing food grains as well to lower income households, that grew from 2.2% of agricultural GDP in the 1990s to 5% agricultural GDP in the 2000s. In doing so, however, it started to crowd out investments in agricultural education, research, and technology. These are challenges, but they also represent great opportunity. For India and for the global food and nutrition security, we must therefore think in terms of a comprehensive strategy to feed a growing world. Accelerating agricultural productivity is a necessary but not sufficient component of food and nutrition security. Other key components of a comprehensive strategy include reducing agricultural loss and food waste along the entire agricultural value chain and ensuring access to sufficient, nutritious food for the most vulnerable populations. Governments must prioritize and strengthen programs that effectively improve the incomes, diets, sanitation, and hygiene of these vulnerable populations worldwide. Today, enhancing and accelerating agricultural productivity is a central component of this strategy. In past decades, as a population has continued to grow and incomes have grown, agricultural output has gradually increased as well. But we face a critical future challenge. Can we continue to pace and keep up with the production of food, feed, fiber, and fuel needed by 2050 while freezing or preferably reducing the environmental impact of our natural resource base? Farmers and producers in every region around the world and of all scales can and must be part of the solution. We must shift to be more productive and efficient in our agricultural value chain systems, and we must do so now. I'm going to turn it back over to Margaret, who will continue with further findings of this year's report. Margaret?
Thank you so much, Matt. So the question remains, how will we produce more, and how will we do it more efficiently? There are many ways we can do that. One way that has been increasingly adopted in the last decade is through land expansion. Expanding more land to use for crop production and by converting forest to pasture for livestock is not an optimal way of producing more. We can also extend irrigation to land that was previously rain-fed, and we can intensify or increase the applications of labor, machinery, fertilizer on the land that we are currently using to grow crops. Or we can efficiently adopt technologies and practices that result in more output using existing resources, and we call this total factor productivity. All of these strategies are important ways to produce more food, feed, fiber, and fuel. When carefully selected, land expansion can be an important strategy as part of a solution to meet demand, as can the extension of irrigation to previously unirrigated land and other input applications that are needed as well. The GAP report focuses on total factor productivity as a strategy. TFP, as you can see from the slide, is a ratio, the ratio of agricultural outputs, gross crop and livestock outputs, to inputs, such as land, labor, fertilizer, machinery, and livestock. As producers use these inputs more efficiently and precisely, or they adopt cultivation practices that are improved and improve livestock genetics, TFP will grow while using a fixed or even a reduced amount of the inputs. Some examples for crops. TFP results from high-yield varieties, disease and pest-resistant varieties, and drought and flood-tolerant crops. It may also result from efficient and timely cultivation and harvesting practices, or using technologies and data to determine precisely when and how much water and fertilizer to apply. When we raise livestock, being able to breed for better animals and favorable genetic qualities and using better animal care and disease management practices will help improve productivity. An important issue in animal productivity is adoption of high-quality feeds that will help provide more output per each animal. The GAP report looks at some of the trends of productivity, particularly in low-income countries. This slide that you see depicts how countries are trending each year since 1960s with respect to adopting more practices of efficiency. In this slide, low-income countries are increasing their agricultural output each decade. That's a good news story. You can see in the most recent decade, 2002 to 2011, we see a large amount of output growth. Encouragingly, TFP is the green bar on the chart, but in some ways you can also see a little bit of a bad news story in the sense that land expansion is increasing as well. Raising productivity further in low-income countries will require robust investments in agricultural research and development and extension and rural infrastructure to support small-scale producers as they seek to shift to more sustainable practices. What's happening in high-income countries? This chart shows that nearly all the source of growth in high-income countries for recent decades is due to total factor productivity. This is due to multiple decades of investing in public research and development and extension, which has provided the impetus for these results. In the coming years, we are going to need new innovations because you can see the rate gradually of TFP growth is beginning to decline. We will need new innovations in precision agriculture, disease and pest management, and more climate-resilient crops to help reverse this decline. The GAP report also looks forward. How will we feed the future? We use the GAP index each year to track future production and productivity in comparison with estimated demand. Back in 2010, GHI calculated that global agricultural productivity, as measured by TFP, must grow by an average rate each year of 1.75% in order to double our agricultural output through productivity gains. While the output of food, feed, fiber, and fuel is most likely to increase in coming decades to keep up with demand, the central question remains, how will that productivity and how will that output occur? Will it be from more efficient uses of all factors of production with less impact on soil and water? Or will producers continue to rely on opening up fragile lands, use more water and other inputs, and fail to take advantage of proven strategies to produce more with less? TFP growth, according to our GAP report, is not accelerating fast enough to meet the expected output needs by 2050. Our most recent analysis using USDA's Economic Research Service data since 2002 indicates that TFP has only been rising by an average of 1.69%. While this may not seem like a major shortfall currently, when compounded over the next 40-some years, output will fall 6% short of a target for more sustainable production. We're really concerned, especially about the impact on low-income countries and food deficit countries, since they lack the income to produce and import sufficient food which will meet their demands, and prices will increase and hit their consumers the hardest. The impact will also be heavy on the environment as farmland will continue to expand to fragile forests in tropical zones and place greater stress on existing water. The GAP report also took a look this year at regional productivity. This first chart looks at productivity gaps in East Asia that are going to emerge by 2030. If we take the current rate of productivity growth in East Asia and compare this with their estimated food demand by 2030, we're going to see a gap, and only 67% of East Asia's food demand will be met. The results are even more striking for sub-Saharan Africa. If the current rate of productivity growth continues, we see a large gap by 2030. In that year, only 15% of sub-Saharan Africa's food demand will be met through productivity. Another dynamic we noted in the GAP report is that there's opportunity for growth. In Latin America is the only region that has sufficient productivity growth to exceed its food demand by 2030. While most of this productivity is now concentrated in Brazil and Argentina, Uruguay and Paraguay, other countries in Latin America have great potential to become more productive in the coming decades and can help meet global demand if they prioritize agriculture now. What's happening in India? Well, our estimations show that at current rates of productivity growth, the country by 2030 will only be able to meet 59% of its food demand, leaving a gap of 41%. The deficit regions around the world will need to significantly expand their investments in ag research and development and also look to trade as part of a solution to meet their future demands. GHI also looks at the policies that are required for the enabling environment to improve productivity. And this is where I think we have an important discussion today with our panelists to focus on these policies. How can we get the greater productivity that we need and conserve those natural resources? GHI advocates five primary strategic policy goals. The first is being investing in agriculture research and development. Greater public sector investment is now needed and is critical for innovation, basic research, and helping make those research findings widely available. Public agriculture research and development also builds a talent pipeline for the next generation of scientists and extension agents that are so critical to ensure productivity will continue. In India, research investments are creating high returns and are helping to meet the government's food security goals. One of the great productivity stories in India has been in cotton over the past decades. The recently elected Modi administration has expressed strong support for improving agricultural research and development in the future. A second broad policy area involves embracing and applying science-based and information technologies. These technological innovations are the backbone of productive and resilient farms, fisheries, and livestock operations. They also help ensure a safe supply of food for consumers. Seed improvements, better animal genetics, labor-saving machinery, and farm implements, effective conservation practices, irrigation technology, and innovation that prevents post-harvest loss are all examples. Mobile phone technologies can help extend these practices and information to farmers and are increasingly important for small-scale producers. In India, numerous technologies to improve TFP have been adopted and disseminated through mobile phone technologies. Soil and crop diagnostics and new models of mechanization are helping farmers grow more with less, and many examples of these are found in our GAP report. Third, enhancing private sector involvement in agriculture and rural infrastructure development. FAO and GHI studies have indicated at least an $80 billion annual investment gap for rural agriculture development. It will be needed for the demands of 2050. The private sector can be a very important part of identifying additional sources of funding and partnerships for rural infrastructure development, for roads, ports, and storage needed to produce, move, and hold food. In India, a massive new investment plan for highways and railways is being launched. The GAP report outlines how India's National Highway Development Program and the dedicated freight corridors are now underway. Case studies on successful examples of infrastructure and market partnerships with the private sector and various Indian governments of the states of India are described in our GAP report. Fourth, trade, removing those barriers to regional, global, and even cross-border trade are very important as a part of food security. We advocate a forward-looking approach to trade policy that helps farmers of all scales take advantage of market opportunities within regions and across the globe. Transparent and consistently enforced trade laws are a central component to meet global food and agriculture needs. Fifth is international development. And we need to strengthen and coordinate international development assistance. GHI seeks continued support for the global food security agenda and urges members of the international development community to keep their promised commitments made at the L'Aquila summit in Italy. It marked a new beginning for global food security after the food price crisis. In the U.S., helpful action will be to expand our budgets for public research and development in agriculture and to help authorize the Feed the Future program in legislation that will secure the approach and investments that are needed. The report continues with an extensive look at India's value chain system. It examines investments that are being made all along the food value chain system in India, from farmers and producers who need access to technology and information, to agricultural service providers who can help farmers through mobile technology and diagnostics, to support from aggregators and middlemen who can help store and move food, to financial services for Indian farmers who now need to access credit and other risk management strategies. Agroprocessors play an increasingly important role in India as consumers demand higher value foods, and retailers who play a critical role in ensuring that Indian consumers have a safe, sufficient, and fresh supply of food. The Indian consumer is demanding much more fresh fruit, vegetables, dairy, fish, poultry, and eggs, and they provide the growing market for all segments in the value chain to add value and seize opportunity. The GAP report finishes with a number of excellent, in-depth, and very rich case studies that our partner organizations helped us to locate and discuss. There are many examples in the report of how revolutions are rising that help tailor technologies for all scales of farmers. New revelations in India are also coming that revitalize the original white revolution in dairy and help extend the blue revolution in aquaculture throughout the country. The GAP report provides examples of revolutions in agriculture that are coming for biofortification and fortification to boost nutrition. The GAP report also covers a number of water and water use efficiency stories that are going to be vital as the country faces declining aquifers and the impact of climate change. Revolutions in agriculture in our GAP report are described through a number of cases that reduce loss and waste along the value chain. And perhaps most importantly in the GAP report, we have provided a focus on the revolution that is needed to expand the status, opportunities, and the incomes of women. These cases serve as a call to action for investing in and adopting proven strategies that will help us meet the promise of 2050. We hope you are going to dig into the report, use the report, share it widely, and that you will find it of use in your work and going forward to meet the challenge that we all face together to provide enough food to feed the world by 2050.